And welcome everyone to episode 201. Hi, Esther.
Hi, Florian.
201. Heading strongly towards 300 soon. So we're going to hit 300 when? In mid 2026?
Depends. Yeah, depends on the pace, but probably next mid 2025.
Yeah, then it's just going to be our AI avatars doing this. You know, we throw some bullet points in the podcast machine. And then, it's just, you know, you and me talking, natural voice. Nobody will notice.
No one will notice, no.
Until then, we shall be unpacking our just-released Language Service Provider Index manually still with actual brains and not NVIDIA-delivered GPUs. Then just take a quick look at Language AI. We just launched a new briefing, Language AI briefing, the first edition in February 2024. Then we're also going to talk about Transperfect's new co-CEO. So there's a new co-CEO at the world's largest LSP. And then you're going to tell us a bit more about M&A. Strong start to the year. We have Powerlane, Yonkers, Oclaro, Blend, all coming with transactions. Now, really excited about our upcoming SlaterCon Remote conference. We have Marcia Fadai as a key speaker. She's the senior research scientist at Cohere. And, you know, Cohere, basically, you know, top four or five AI companies. I think they're in kind of discussions now to raise another $500 million to $1 billion, according to Reuters. I just checked this morning. And so Marcia is going to talk about Aya, which is Cohere's new massively multilingual data set and language model they released just a few days ago. You know, she's going to talk about why multilingual systems matter, challenges and gains of building the largest data set for multilingual instruction tuning, how you train something like this. I think it covers like 101 languages, Aya. And then just, yeah, building the foundations of like an open science initiative and some of the lessons learned. So really, really happy that Marcia takes the time to speak to us at SlaterCon Remote. That's going to be great. Also, don't forget to join us at SlaterCon London, the IRL version, the in-person version. We're still at the early bird stage, but not for much longer. Tickets are selling quickly. You know, we got the fantastic location with the Nobu Hotel there in the heart of London. I think, did you visit briefly? Did you do like location scouting or?
Yeah, I did visit a while back and the networking event also.
Yes, it's going to be good. Looking forward to that in May. So get your ticket now. All right, so let's head into the what we call LSPI, that's jargon for Language Service Provider Index. And, you know, we've been busy over the past couple of weeks, even more than that, maybe past couple of months, putting this together. And it's only Feb 22nd, and it's already out. And this is basically revenue data for how many? How many LSPs that participated in this?
250 so far.
And we keep updating, so we're probably going to hit about 300. So thanks to the 250 companies who are so quick in doing their books so they can already give you their accounts or their, you know, top line data by February 22nd. That's, you know, looks like a lot of these LSPs have their accounting in order. So yeah, walk us through this kind of key findings, just remind us again of the structure and some of the terms we're using for these different tiers and brackets.
Yeah, so 2024 LSPI, I think it's our seventh or something edition that we've been putting out for many years now. So the format will be quite familiar to lots of people. If you have a look on the website, you can browse and see all of the 250 LSPs that have participated in the index. We, as most years, break down the index into four different categories. So based on the revenue size, typically of the LSPs, we have the category super agencies. And so these are the so LSPs with revenues of more than $200 million that are also full service and standalone. So these are your Transperfects, your RWSs, your WeLocalizers, etc. of Lionbridge, of course, of the world. Then we have another category, which is the leaders category. And these are LSPs with revenues above $25 million, and those that don't qualify for the super agency status for other reasons. challengers. So these are LSPs with revenues between $8 million and $25 million US dollars, and then boutiques with revenues between $1 and $8 million. So we have to cut it off somewhere. You know, we can't include absolutely every single translation localization agency in the world. So we do maintain a cutoff threshold of $1 million in annual revenues. So yeah, 250 companies participated across those four categories. We also supplemented the index with another 50 to 60 companies who haven't managed yet to probably finalize their books from last year, but they did participate, and they typically participate in the LSPI. They participated last year, so we have their previous year's revenues that are known to us. So yeah, overall, so including those that were still kind of waiting to receive the updated figures, there were 8 super agencies, around 50 leaders, around 50 challengers, and nearly 200 boutique LSPs. So it's a very rich list when it comes to doing analysis and diving into what's been going on in terms of 2023 growth or otherwise.
Or otherwise. That was a bit of the theme here, right? The otherwise. I mean, this was probably the most difficult year so far since we started the index in 2018?
I'd say so, yeah. I mean, we always caveat sort of whatever analysis we do, we always kind of caveat the growth figure to say, well, obviously that also includes M&A-driven growth. So, you know, the overall percentage by which companies grew on a revenue basis is not reflective, well, not totally reflective of underlying organic growth in the market. So, you know, we did have this year a higher percentage of companies that reported revenue declines versus 2022. And that was definitely a strong theme coming out of the index. And overall, a lower growth percentage across the 250 companies than we have seen in previous years.
Yeah, and then, I mean, some of the companies that probably have extreme pronounced declines or just don't like to share when their revenue declines probably didn't even participate, right? So there's even a bit of a kind of a sample bias there. But interesting that we had like over 40% of the super agencies, 30% leaders, you know, 20% challengers and 45% boutiques reporting declining revenues. Again, I think we checked briefly, and this is probably the most pronounced decline we had since, you know, we started this, which kind of speaks to that challenging year, which was kind of a double whammy of some kind of macroeconomic pressure, then the whole AI hype, which kind of led to a lot of the very senior people maybe questioning some of the spend, right? Putting pressure on the lock and translation managers to just do more in-house. And that's what I'm also hearing anecdotally from people, from leaders of businesses, that just some of the kind of pure text volume is just being pulled more in-house, and they're trying to do more with just kind of their own tech that they may be building or that's coming out. We wanted these more core machine translation providers, not so much yet like that volume's going to like OpenAI or any of these fancy new AI solutions, but more like just to the kind of core MT providers, right?
No, I was going to say, I would also say kudos to those companies that did experience declines but still participated, because I think it's testament to the fact that, you know, this is a meaningful look at the industry. I mean, it is important that we get participation in order to be able to provide a benchmark in terms of what's happening in the industry.
That also means, though, that more than half of the companies that did participate managed to grow. So it's not like all dark and gloomy.
We haven't analyzed to the extent to which companies have, the ones who have declined. So we're not saying if a company declined in revenue, they lost 50% of their revenues. You know, this could be like -1%, -2%. So on that level.
Yeah, so it's not like in the boutiques they had a 45% drop in revenue. It's that, you know, a good, like a 45% of the ones that participated had a drop.
Of some description, yeah, it could be 2%, could be 1%, could be 30%. But I mean, it will take time. Obviously, we only released the index yesterday. It will take time to do some of that analysis and bring you a bit more around that.
Who was top 1, 2, 3? Did you find that out already? Did you have a chance? Because we only got this out yesterday, so.
I mean, not extremely reliably, I would say. What we normally do when we talk about the fastest growing is look at the percentage growth, and then also analyze on the basis of US dollar growth, so as not to overly bias the small ones or overly bias the larger ones. But we do tend to not include companies that are, or not talk about companies that are sort of 1 to 2 million when we're talking about extreme growth. But yeah, we pulled out a couple of leaders in particular that had strong growth in 2023. So one that stood out was Elan. That one grew, so this is within the leader category, grew, I mean, more than doubled to revenues of around 60 million in 2023. If you've been following our coverage over the past year plus, you'd have seen that they did quite a lot of acquisitions in 2023. So probably unsurprisingly that they've managed to add quite a lot to their top line then, I'm sure supported by some organic growth as well. Another one that's pretty fast growing was DA Languages in the UK, another leader growing to around $48 million. And then looking at the super agencies, none of them had fast the among the top growing from a percentage level. Obviously, it's harder to grow fast percentage-wise when you're already very, very sizable. But among the super agencies, Keywords seems to have performed best in a percentage growth terms with nearly 13% forecast growth still. I think they haven't come up with their final figures, but forecast growth of about 13%.
And there, if you unpack it, I think the localization business actually didn't grow much or at all. I guess it's many of these other game services that they're offering.
But yeah, we need to look at how much of that is actually localization related. You're right.
All right. So one super agency that did manage to grow 3% is TransPerfect, our friends over in New York. And they announced, you know, a week ago that they appointed Qin Li as the new co-CEO. So sharing the CEO-ship with, you know, founder and current CEO, Phil Shaw. So interesting career. Kind of speaks to how that company works as well. I mean, Qin Li has been with the company for 20 years, worked initially in the New York office, now is based in the Atlanta office. He started working at TransPerfect in 2003 as a project manager, shortly after graduating from Middlebury College, you know, that kind of famous localization program there. So yeah, project manager, Esther, rising to the top.
I'm forever in favor of the project managers.
Yeah, and so basically he was initially in charge of the Asian language production team and then later joined the legal and patent translations team. So he really knows the business inside out. I mean, if you're starting out in PM, you go into production, obviously, you know, when you get to that level, you also had a lot of exposure to sales and other aspects of the business. But yeah, so he must know every nook and cranny of this company quite well. Now we also ask what the responsibilities are going to be in this co-CEO-ship. So naturally, Qin Li is going to take, you know, production, focus on company ops and production, and Phil Shaw will spend more time on tech, sales, and M&A. I mean, you know, Phil Shaw is very passionate about sales. Remember having him at one of our SleaterCon conferences, kind of laying out the sales process, which TransPerfect so famous for. So many salespeople, probably more than any other LSP in the industry. So congrats to Qin Li and you know, all the best for co-CEO-ship there. I just briefly mentioned it, I want to mention it, but we launched a new series for our subscribers called Language AI Briefing, and we collate a bunch of stories. There's just so much out there. So like, we started it because, I mean, we're trying to kind of breathlessly cover all these advances in, you know, broadest bucket language AI, and kind of try to position them in a relevant way for the language industry, language services and tech industry. And so this AI briefing really gives you a nice selection of what's happening within 1 month that, you know, you want to be aware of. So for example, in MT, we flagged a few stories there, like the Amazon thing, research paper where they kind of looked at how much content on the internet is web scraped, machine translated data that's then ingested into LLMs. So kind of a garbage in, garbage out situation. We also featured Unbabel's new model, multilingual LLM, that is translation related. Sorry, it's optimized for translation related tasks, and it's called Tower, the Tower of Unbubble. So, and then a couple others. We also have like stories where we kind of list things in text generation, highlights in speech technology. For example, Aquila launched like an AI-powered voice solution. So you're starting to see that some of these big LSPs are starting to also launch tech solutions because they can and they should, right? They have development talent in-house. And why should you leave that field wide open to all these startups building on some kind of, you know, somebody else's API if you can do it yourself? So really interesting series, and looking forward to seeing the next edition there as well. Speaking of scrappy startups that are building on AI, you want to check out this story that Alex has written, and the title is Building a Functional AI Dubbing App Has Become Vanilla. So what happened there is that this startup called Sync Labs that focuses only on the lip sync aspect of a, what do you call it? Like video?
Video syncing or what, dubbing?
Video syncing or video dubbing. Or just the sync, the lip sync aspect, basically put a how-to there. So how can you build a functional AI dubbing app? Because this is one of the obviously most natural use cases for having a lip sync functionality. So Sync Labs only does the lip sync. But then if people don't know how to build on top of that or use that app, then, you know, they're going to struggle to scale. So it's interesting. They put like this, this detailed how-to on GitHub for anybody to check out. So go to that article, check it out. It's very, very interesting what type of tech they use. They use like Gladia, something called Gladia for transcription and translation, 11 Labs for voice cloning and speech synthesis. And then, of course, their own, Sync Labs for lip sync video. So very, very interesting. And you see how kind of, vanilla, how plain this has gotten. Like you can just build this and, you know, now good luck commercializing it. But the tech's there now.
Yeah, tech's there. I mean, maybe not you. Depends on who you're talking to when you say you. I mean, one can with the right skills, right? Spin up something.
But
like
it's
this.
Not heavy.
You don't think so? A couple of engineers?
Maybe, but it's a lot of API. It's just kind of mushing this together. So, you know, again, I'm not a tech person. I can't code, but seems somewhat straightforward. If I understand what they built, then I can't believe it's too complicated to actually build something like that. Again, the challenge is in the commercialization. So you got that thing. Well, how do you get people to subscribe, use it, and then kind of scale up? Because it's also expensive. It was interesting that in the demo version they built, they actually had to remove the 11 Labs API because I think people started using the demo version and then very quickly started the costs for the 11 Labs component of it started to spiral out of control. So they had to kind of stop that functionality. So yeah, it's, these LLM things are not cheap.
Yeah, it's like, it's cool, but then what do we do with it? You know, or like you say, how do we scale it? How do we sell it?
If it costs you $20 to like 10 minutes of video lip sync, then good luck trying to sell that to somebody. All right, let's go back to more familiar shores where we feel very comfortable. Let's talk about mergers and acquisitions among language service and tech providers.
Yeah, well, I think in our last pod, we discussed a few transactions that had happened in January. Generally quite a strong start to 2024. With regards to mergers and acquisitions. So one that we tracked in late January was Powerling in France acquiring WCS Group. So this was France-based Powerling acquiring what was a troubled WCS Group in the Netherlands after WCS Group had filed for bankruptcy. So Powerling actually alerted us.
Was this the thing we had to cut from the last podcast? Because during the time we recorded that those 24 hours, something happened?
That's the one. Yeah, that is the one. Powerling got in touch and said, we've acquired WCS Group. So naturally, we didn't want to focus on the fact that WCS Group had filed for bankruptcy, but rather the fact that Powerling acquired WCS Group.
And our last well, just we talked about WCS Group going bankrupt, and then in the 24 hours that it took us to produce, then Powerlink swooped in and bought them.
That's right. Yeah. And told us about it, which we're grateful for that they alerted us to that fact. Yeah. So, I mean, interesting acquisition there, obviously a very speedy acquisition there as well. We had some comment from Annette van der Loos, the co-founder and COO of Powerlink, explaining a bit about why they thought it was a great idea to acquire WCS Group. They said, she said, being a major actor in the Netherlands has always been part of Powerlink history, and that they admired the quality of work of the WCS team. So good luck to the two of them.
All right. And then a merger between two healthy parties.
Yeah, mergers, which we don't typically see a huge amount of in the language industry. But we had a merger announced in early February between Belgian-based Yonkers and US-based Aclaro. This merger is effective from the 1st of February. These will be familiar names, I think, for many of our listeners. Yonkers was founded in 1994. Aclaro founded 2002, actually by Michael Kritz, who's still the company's CEO. Yonkers, we've covered them a fair bit the past year. They were sold, majority sold to private equity firm Mayfair early in 2023. Two already established leaders in their own right, if we're going back to the LSPI terminology, both of a similar size, I think based on last year's revenue, sort of around 35-ish million US dollars each. Kind of a considerable player now cross-Atlantic as well, sort of fully US-Europe leader that we have in the combined organization there. Silke Schweigert, who's the Yonkers CEO, is now becoming the group CEO of the company. And Michael Kritz is staying on as CEO of Aclaro. Michael also gave some comment about the merger, saying, yep, similar size and shared values between the two companies. The merger allows the companies to expand investments, both in sort of the areas of AI, people, tech, and service offerings. So, yeah, best of luck to them also.
And one that just came in yesterday.
Yeah, one came in yesterday. I think we published also on the 21st of February, was Blend's acquisition of Manpower Language Solutions. So both companies there being based in Israel. Blend acquired the company known as MLS. MLS was founded a while back in 1992, it was formerly owned actually by Manpower Group Israel. The company works for public sector agencies, Israeli businesses, and sort of doing global, helping global brands access the Israeli market. The CEO of MLS has now retired, but the rest of the team, the rest of the leadership team are going to be staying on with Blend. And then Yair, the CEO of Blend, said to us, the plan moving forward is going to be to maintain the MLS brand at least for a few months and then integrate it into Blend later in the year.
All right. And I think Benny Orr helped facilitate the deal, if I read our piece correct. So quick shout out, Benny Orr. Congrats. All right. That was it for today. Quick news check-in. So again, make sure to register for SlaterCon Remote. Make sure to register for SlaterCon London. And go and read through our LSPI, 250 companies, presented to you in one very user-friendly, interactive database, I guess, freely available. All right, talk soon.